Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
On behalf of the Southwest Central Church of Christ, I would like to welcome you. My name is Steve Sargent, and I am the minister of this congregation. We gather as a community to remember the life of David Pipes. We gather in joy because we loved David. And we gather in grief because of our loss. So we assemble this morning at the intersection of joy and sorrow, both meeting us in this place. And that can feel a bit unnerving. Our invitation this morning, like it is every day, is to trust God with today. So that's what we're going to do. I'm not going to read all of David's eulogy located in your program. I do hope you spend some time reading that on your own. But I do want to point out a couple of things in there. In that first paragraph, it says, David Meggs Pipes was the eldest child of Charles David Pipes and Betty Meggs Pipes. He was born November 27th, 1948 in Fort Worth, Texas. Then right below that it says, David said that the home was wherever his parents were and that the church was their extended family in San Antonio, New Mexico, North Carolina, Puerto Rico, California, the Philippines, and Abilene. I love that. In the paragraph right below it, it says he met an old gentleman who taught him how to play chess. And many years later, he won the competitions to represent Rice University at the NCAA chess tournament. I had no idea that he did that. On the second page, that second paragraph, when it's talking about David and Kay's courtship, it says when David's parents came to visit at Lovett College, they were told, quote, he spends all of his time over at Brown with Kay Cummings. That last paragraph, when he worked at the U.S. Army Environmental Hygiene Agency, he developed many standards for water treatment, including the famous Pipes sniff test. Not sure what that was. Sounds great. And he would introduce himself, Pipes the name, sewers the game. I can totally see him saying that. Back page. Second paragraph. During a recent interview with a doctor about his goals for treatment, David listed three things. Be at home with Kay, worship with my church, and get back to work at S and B so I can be with my friends. Which just about summed up David's life. David, age 69, died Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. While a patient at MD Anderson Hospital in Houston, Texas, where he was cared for with great kindness by the nursing staff. David is survived by his wife of 46 years, Kay Cummings Pipes, who held his hand through this life's journey, by his dear mother, Betty, by his brother, Brian, and his wife, Dee, by his sisters, Beth Cook and Mary Neal McLean and her husband, Charles, by nieces, nephews, God's children, extended family, and hosts of friends. In our order of service today, DeAndre Gibbs and James Denham will pray for us. Jack Gregory and Jerry Salvador will offer remembrances. Brent Spivey will lead us in song. Andrea Reed and Nikki Manguia Boats will sing one of David's favorite songs. And a host of people David greatly admired will read the first three chapters of Ephesians, a letter he and Kay could recite from memory because they read it aloud so often. A little bit later, I will speak a word of encouragement. If you are standing at the back, I do want to let you know there are a couple seats up here at the front, and I see a couple dotted over here. You'll feel free to have a seat. I see some over in the corner as well. Let's begin in prayer.
Good morning. My name is DeAndre Gibbs, and I would like you to join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning with saddened hearts and some humble minds because of the loss of our brother, husband, friend, Mr. David Pipes. He was a good person, and we all loved him so much, Lord. And then even though we lost him here on earth, we know that he's up there with you, Lord. But I want to pray for his family, friends, and everybody here who knew him well enough to miss him so much now, Lord. I want you to be with them, humble their hearts and their minds. And we've been told so many times that this is something that we get happy for because the people we love doesn't have to suffer anymore or they don't have to go through pain, but they're with you now, Lord. But it still doesn't make the pain any easier down here. So I pray that you continue to be with us throughout the rest of this service and the rest of our lives as we move on and as we send Mr. David Price up to you. But to let everybody know that he will never be forgotten. He's only gone, but he's not gone from our hearts, Lord. He's still inside with us, Lord. So I pray that you give us the time we need to grieve and just be willing to sit and listen, even when it seems like we have doubts and we doubt in your love and your joy and your heart, Lord. Just understand that it's a hard time and it's hard to lose someone that we love. So I pray that you never give up on any of us here. And I pray for his family specifically that they does not give up on you, Lord, because we know you have your ways and that you take the best of us and You have your ways of doing things, Lord, and we don't doubt that or question that, but it's hard sometimes to go through this. So I pray that you continue to help us to move on and to just have a good life and know that that's what he wants, Lord. But also in the times that he comes to mind and we seem to break down, I pray that you will be there to pick us back up, Lord, and help us move on, Lord, and help everybody to understand that it's okay to be sad and it's okay to cry and it's okay to have questions and say why, Lord. But just know that we're not giving up on you and we still love and trust you to the fullest extent of our heart. In your son Jesus' name, amen.
I'm Jack Gregory. I am David and Kay's brother-in-law. I'm fortunate enough to have snuck into the Pipes family by way of an unguarded back door, evidently. And I am more than happy and very honored right now on behalf of the extended Pipes family to tell you thank you. Thank you for the overwhelming support offered to Kay, especially over the last few difficult months. Thank you for your attendance here today at David's memorial service. And more than anything else, thank you for helping us honor God as we honor David. On the screen is Psalm 130. It says in the order of worship that I was to read that, but I'm going to ask that you read it with me. As God's children, we offer this as a prayer today. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word I have hope. My soul waits for the Lord. more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. Thank you. Kay offered me, which scared me to death, the opportunity to say a few words on behalf of the family. Just a couple of days ago, I read a short blog about prayer. And that short blog has impacted my thinking. I wish I had read it long ago. I hope and pray that it will impact my prayer life in the future. It's amazing how one simple word can radically change a prayer. For those of us that live this side of heaven, we have a tendency to focus our prayers on us, on the things that we want, that we need, and not so often, not so much on the eternal. Without a doubt, I feel that everyone in this room has joined us at some time over the last year praying for Kay and for David. We prayed with complete faith and hope. And we had faith that David would be healed physically, that he and his situation would become, listen to this word, would become better. Here's that one little word, that one little change in our prayer. Perhaps we should have prayed, or correction, I should have prayed, could have prayed, instead of, Lord, make this better, to pray, Lord, make this count. Make this count. David was dying. My prayer, possibly make this leukemia go away. But don't just make it better. Make it count. Make this time, which I know is what David would want, make this time be about you, God. Let it be about your kingdom. I can hear David very plainly. Don't make it be about me. Make it count. Amen. I think this is exactly what David knew was important, exactly what he understood when he read or asked Kay to read for him Psalm 130. I've taken just a few of the lines of that prayer, that psalm, because I just in my heart feel that this is the cry of David. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than the watchman wait for the morning. Yes. More than the watchman wait for the morning. On New Year's Eve, Kay heard David say in his sleep, I'm dying. And almost possibly even in the same breath, he said, no unanswered prayers. He wanted us to know that our prayers for healing were not unanswered because he died. That just the opposite's true. He knew then that it counted. He had full faith that because of his life, he knew that his death would count for something, for God's kingdom here on earth. He knew it would count for his precious church family. And believe me, he saw it as his family. He trusted that lives, that our lives, each one of us, would be eternally affected and affirmed in the promise of eternity with God. I thank God, okay, for hearing our prayers, for answering them fully. I love the phrase, in the fullness of time. Our prayers have indeed been answered. For David, it is better. And for each of us now, in the fullness of time, it counts. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as you hold David in your arms, please receive our thanks for allowing him to have been in our lives. Help us in both small and majestic ways use David's life to make things count for your kingdom. Help his influence lead into the next 100 years of ministry through this congregation and especially down every path we walk to the glory of God. Amen.
My name is Jerry Salvador. Kay asked me to, and David, Brian, excuse me, to share a few memories from the S&B family. So today we're here to celebrate the life of David. You know, Mal and I have known David since I first joined S&B in 1980. He was not just a colleague, he was also a dear family friend. I think that holds true for everybody that worked with him at S&B. David and Kay visited a hospital and welcomed each of our daughters when they were born. Anjali and Samita remember going to Rice basketball games and having fun with their Uncle David. You know, I think his picture is that mischievous uncle that we all have. You know, after Anjali learned to read, and you can see David was a voracious reader. You know, she would bring a book to the games. Kay and I remember numerous games where we saw David and Anjali reading her book rather than watching the game. Back then, Rice basketball game was not as good as their baseball team. I remember our carpooling and racquetball days. David, Brian, Rich Kaler, and I played doubles racquetball religiously every Thursday night for many years. I think when Mal and I got married, she knew Thursday night was a religious day for us. It may be hard for you to picture David playing racquetball, but he and I were a great team. He would cover the middle of the court while I covered anything that got past him. If I recall correctly, David and I thrashed Brian and Rich numerous times. However, they may beg to differ. But enough of my memories. Some of the S&B memories. David officially joined S&B in 1976, but he actually worked with S&B before then as a grad student in 1972. Kay shared with me that when he was in the hospital, David would talk about church, his family during his waking hours, but in his sleep, he would talk about S&B. His hand would move as he was drawing flow sheets or performing calculations, and he was constantly solving problems in his sleep. I think there are several of us here who can relate to that. David loved working at S&B. For him, it wasn't work. He loved being an engineer and spending time with his friends at S&B. One of David's accomplishments was receiving the S&B Sabre Award. You may have seen it outside there. Mr. Slaughter developed the idea for this award in 2006 to recognize individuals who played a significant role in making our construction division a success. So David was particularly proud of receiving this award, given he was not in our construction division, and even more so since he was a process engineer who had no direct deliverables to construction. So part of how I'm going to structure the memories is using the word SABER from that award. You know. So the S in SABER stands for safety. We begin every meeting at S&B with a safety moment, so let me start with one here. S&B's mission statement is we make no compromise with respect to morality, ethics, and safety. If a design or work practice is perceived to be unsafe, We do not proceed until the issue is resolved. David took safety and these words very seriously. I think he brought it in with his entire life. One memory shared with me was David, after hearing one of his younger engineers having a safety concern, flying down to the job site the very next day to make sure that concern was heard, addressed, and resolved. That's just the way David was. The A in SABRE is for attitude, working with ourselves, the client, and others. David was loved and respected by Dr. Brookshire and everyone at S&B. Brookshire shared the following. Dad and I trusted David completely, both as an engineer and a person. He not only had the ability to provide us with a factual answer, uncolored by his opinion, but he was not capable of providing anything else. Also, he had the ability to see through all the noise in a project to find the facts. He would then condense those to an answer that Dad or I had time to hear. He was an invaluable resource to me personally and professionally, and I will miss him dearly. David was part of our process engineering group. Now, Vineet Majumdar, a former process engineer, now project manager, he shared, David was always aware that for the projects to be successful, process has to take the lead to support the other disciplines. Now, even when working crash and burn projects with very aggressive schedules, when almost every discipline was looking at process as the holdup, he would handle the stress with class, never losing his sense of humor in weekly meetings. Even though David was senior to almost everyone on a project, he never pounded his fists, but treated others with respect. You know, as I understand it, as an elder in the church, I'm sure David, you know, displayed exactly the same type of behavior. David had a common effect on project teams and could make working projects with him fun. While on a plant startup, you know, the folks working with David heard him yell out, BICR. Everyone goes, what is BICR? Well, BICR stood for bats in the control room. On another project, when the other disciplines, you know, we have our project team started to refer to the young engineers working with David as process minions, David went out and made T-shirts for his team, and David became Gru to his process minions. And the minion T-shirt was still one of David's favorite T-shirts. The B in best practices, it stands for best practices, to apply continuously improving systems and processes. Carl Fahrenkamp, our Vice President of Engineering, says, I first got to know David after moving from civil engineering to project engineering here at S&B. Didn't take long to realize he was much smarter than the average bear. Despite being bear size, he had a very gentle way about him and took every effort to patiently answer every question a young project engineer could think of and at least not act that this was annoying. He soon became the reference process engineer. Whenever confronted with a new process unit or with a chemical reaction hadn't read about, you know, it was like, what to do? Well, go call David. David was better than Google, or at least he was the earlier version of Google. You know, David could line you out on the basics of a process unit design in very short order. David was also always willing to share his knowledge. You know, there's no one that David wouldn't be happy to talk to. Carl also said, one of the first things I would do was get Professor Pipes to line out everyone out on the basics of the particular plant we're working on so they'd have a good understanding of the process and equipment needed to make it go. And David took quite delight in teaching the mere mortals. David mentored many of our engineers. J.D. Slaughter worked his first major project process assignment with David. J.D. writes, he was the lead and taught me a lot. He was a joy to work for, kind, funny, with such a great spirit. And I think you can see the expression on David's face, I think, is exactly that. He was one of my mentors when I was in process and continued to be, even after I moved to the dark side or the project management side of the business. The E in SABRE is for excellence. David was an engineer who loves solving problems. As Brian puts it, he was not a scientist. He was an engineer who worked for a working solution today for the problem at hand. I witnessed this firsthand working with David on a major refinery expansion. We were challenged to develop a process design to meet a predetermined and agreed upon budget. And that's not the way the process group does our designs. Usually you do the design and then you come up with the estimate. David and his team met this challenge. However, David was not just an expert engineer. He had many interests and seemed to know a little something about everything imaginable. David was definitely smarter than others, or at least had that extra helping of gray cell matter, because he seemed to remember everything he read. Judy Hant says, David would have been one of her lifelines if she were on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I think he was on many of ours. Nina Villano, another project assistant, told me she always felt smarter after having a conversation with David. Mala describes him as a Renaissance man or one of today's Leonardo da Vinci. David was an avid historian. Field trips to faraway job sites could be entertaining, especially once you got David started on a discussion of the Civil War or World War II, right? I see a lot of nods in the audience. He could give you a vivid description, details of battles and generals that you wouldn't find in your history books. On one of the trips, the team remembers getting into a discussion on General Grant and what a character he was, that they were almost all the way to Beaumont before they realized they'd missed the cutoff. You know, they were late for the meeting, but the car ride there was worth it. Several people remember Ron Christie, who was one of our construction VPs at the time, always trying to find a subject to stump the band. For those of you who remember, maybe the Johnny Carson show is always stump the band. Ron would research some obscure subject to test David. You know, and people remember Ron challenging David on Gilgamesh. And I had to look that up. Much to Ron's frustration, David knew who Gilgamesh was. To our knowledge, he never stumped David. The R in Sabres for reliability. David was S&B's go-to person. When it was time to get a mainframe computer, Dr. Brookshire called on David to make a recommendation, even though David was not a computer background. David also started the environmental lab division for S&B in the early 70s, which was, you know, very successful. He was also the go-to person when we started our office in India to research and became our export compliance expert. So no matter what difficult subject S&B had, David was one of the go-to people. Our sales and project management group relied on him. They could call on him to, you know, discuss S&B's technical capabilities, or if they had a client that was an expert, David was the go-to guy. But, you know, David was never big on going out to lunch or entertaining clients. But the best way to get him there, we found out, was all you had to do was tempt him with the best hamburger in Houston. I think everybody knows David loved hamburgers. You know, for those of you who know David well, and I went to Burger House, which was down the street from S&B with David many a time, you knew exactly what he would do when he would go up there and order. He goes, I would want a hamburger, plain and dry. You know, he loved his hamburgers, but they had to be plain and dry. Mr. Slaughter says David had the greatest mind in the company. Anytime there was a difficult problem to solve, he would be one of the people brought in to brainstorm solutions. David was extremely witty and had a way of explaining things in eloquent terms. You know, as one of our projects neared construction completion, when it's time for all the process engineers to be off the job and construction wrapping up, we had a client who was generating changes and maybe improving ideas, trying to couch it in terms of safety, because, you know, from safety you can always justify putting in. So David was asked to come in and work with him and challenge and vet the ideas. After reviewing the list, his explanation was, if Haley's Comet is going by, hell freezes over, frogs begin to fly, and dogs and cats begin to breed and produce viable offspring, the plant blows up. Once you put it in those terms, I think the client realized these were sort of unreasonable changes. Any other person would have become frustrated, but not David. He just took it in stride as he understood and worked with our client. For many at S&B, David was a big teddy bear. He was protective, always there for them when needed, and thoughtful as well. Judy still has her bird of paradise David brought back for her, you know, after a trip. You know, I could go on and on with some of the stories that we have, and, you know, David being family, you know. But maybe just to close this, if you go out and look at the Sabre Award closely, you'll realize it's not just an acronym. If you replace the A with an ampersand, you can read and pronounce it as S and Beer. David, you truly were and will forever be an S and Beer. Your S and B family loves you and we will miss you. However, we take comfort in knowing we now have you, along with Dr. Brookshire, in heaven, continuing to work with us on our projects.
Oh, love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch away. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's glow its day may brighter, fairer be. Joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. My grace, the rainbow through the rain, and the feel of the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. That liftest up my head, I dare not ask to hide from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory.
I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that, with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to you which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will hope in him.
As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As I read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news.
Though I'm the least deserving of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone the mysteriously planned that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom and rich variety and the unseen ruler and the authorities into heaven's places. This was his eternal plan, which was carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now boldly and confidently in God's presence. I pray, therefore, you may not lose your heart over my sufferings for you, that they are your glory.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's word. commoner strength, when we're weary, a commoner hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's
Speak the name of God so solemnly, speak the name of God in prayer. In a world so full of profanity, speak the name of God with care.
I love the picture on the front of the program for the service. Jerry mentioned that earlier as well. This is the one that Kay wanted to use, and for good reason, I think. It captures David well, those gentle eyes, that kind smile, those pursed lips, which I'm sure is about to say something funny as soon as the photographer will let him stand up. A few days ago, when Kay was trying to hunt down this picture, I started searching my own files for it. I typed in David Pipes into my Google Photos app, and up popped a couple dozen pictures that I had taken that David was in. Some of the pictures made me laugh out loud, like this one. This is 4 years ago at Vacation Bible School. His brother Brian is about to get soaked in a dunking booth. And look how supportive David is being, just off to a side, so thoughtful and generous toward Brian as he hands the softballs back to the kids so they can take another throw. He's taking no pleasure in that, Brian. No pleasure. It's all for the kids. And here he is in 2012 at another Vacation Bible School. He's portraying the great encourager, Barnabas, dressing up in character and all. I remember those kids being captivated by David's role. At yet another VBS, here he is again. Different year, different theme. He's dressed up in the exact same costume. I can't even remember the theme for the VBS now, but I remember we had a petting zoo, and for 30 minutes, David led that donkey around in circles, giving each and every kid a turn who wanted a ride. And yes, he gave me a ride too. David did things like this for years. A couple of months ago, my wife, my daughter, and I visited our friend David Lewis, who now lives in a nursing home near Waco. David Lewis loves this church and misses it greatly. When we were there, he put on a VHS tape of a children's Christmas program this congregation did back in 1998. And who is emceeing the whole thing? David Pipes. There was this one, this baby shower picture for Chris and Jenny Thompson back in 2009. In this photo, it's almost like a Where's Waldo thing going on. Can you find him? You probably don't. If you can't, that's because he's way over on the edge. Let's zoom in on the next picture. There he is, hiding in the corner. I'm fairly certain baby showers were not his favorite thing in the world. But what I appreciate so much is that David showed up. David always showed up for people. Mostly quietly, definitely, behind the scenes. That's how he preferred it. Not letting his left hand or any other person for that matter know what his right hand was doing. He would attend optional meetings where he knew the agenda would not be pleasant. He would hop on board long bus rides to go to funerals of friends' parents whom he just met a time or two. He would slip me money from time to time and say, go take care of someone who might need this. Showing up and serving quietly were dominant themes in David's life, as evidenced by these pictures, overseeing a cookout for people displaced by Hurricane Ike, preparing meals for persons without the means to purchase such meals, putting together care packages for neighbors who hold signs at stoplights, annual Halloween events at this building where he and Kay would often hand out children's books instead of candy, attending a fundraiser to raise money for a group of people who would go work at a children's home. And sitting with my daughter, reading to her. She with her cold right foot tucked warmly under his left leg. Him at peace. The two pictures that moved me most were these. I took this photo at a shepherd's retreat in 2010. In the mornings, Michael and Lucy Bell made breakfast for us, and all the elders and their spouses and ministers and our spouses, we kept silence for an hour or so. I brought church directories and set them out on tables, invited them to pray over you, and that's what David is doing. He's praying over you, just like he had done thousands of times before, just like he did thousands of times after. Even to his final days, this is what David was doing, entrusting you to God, lifting your name before God, the one in whose image you are made. He's praying for you, speaking your joys and hopes, lamenting your sorrows and pain, whether he knew them or not. He's praying that God's kingdom would come and God's will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. I'm sure he ended his prayer like he always did with, because we ask it in Jesus' name. David loved you. David loved this church family. He had certain strengths and unique giftedness, and with those he loved you. He had weaknesses and shortcomings, and with those too he loved you. For exactly half the 100 years this congregation has existed, David loved you, which is the preeminent mark of a shepherd and a church, And in the end, the only one that really matters. That's what this picture represents to me. And finally, there's this picture. This was taken 10 years ago at an event here. What a great partnership. What a great friendship. David so loved you. There wasn't a time that I was with him that your name didn't come up at least a couple times. And we know in part how difficult these last 4 or 5 months have been for you, Kay. Doctor's appointments and long hospital stays and impromptu ER visits, all of it so much, we recognize that. We also know that if that's where David was going to be, you were going to be there too, nowhere else but right beside him. And you did that so well, so thank you. This picture extends further for me. There's Betty, David's mother. We grieve with you, Betty. Your care for your son from the very beginning of his life shaped him into the person he became. And we honor you for that. And Brian and Dee, your friendship with David meant more to him than I think he could adequately express. When Chelsea, Cora, and I brought communion to him a couple weeks ago before he died, he talked about the two of you with tears in his eyes. Thank you for loving him. Other family and friends and co-workers whom I do not know, but I got to share a wonderful meal with last night. What a gift you've been to David for so long. Thank you. And to his friends who became to him his own children, Joseph, Damon, Monica, and Terry. You brought him great joy, especially when little babies were born. I'm sure you've got your own pictures of David rolling through your mind as well. Where you were and what you did, how you laughed. We could spend hours reminiscing. But since I know for a fact that David would be uncomfortable with all this attention currently on him, I think he'd be quite happy if I would turn our attention elsewhere right about now. So let's think about Paul for a second. In his short letter to a small church who met in a town called Philippi, Paul writes this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the peace of God will be with you." Paul and David would have been good friends, I believe, for many reasons, but here specifically, because both are happy enough not only to deflect praise, but also to point out that it was never about them in the first place. It's as if Paul's and David's lives ask us the tough questions: okay, what's your response now to all that I've been doing and saying? What kind of person are you going to be? What kind of life are you going to live? What kind of neighbor are you? What kind of church? Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul says, David says to us, put into practice. Do it. Love one another. Lay down your life. Them before you. Do this, and the peace of God will be with you. If that's what the framed pictures teach us, then David's voice should be given equal weight. After David died, Kay sent a note to about a dozen of us giving instruction about David's thoughts for this memorial service we are now doing. Here's what Kay wrote. David had realized for some time that he might not recover, and the concern nearest to his heart was his church. At some point, he decided that he wished his memorial service to offer his congregation a teaching moment, a final word, with a strong and hopeful focus on the future. In 10 of the 11 Christmas seasons that I've been a part of this congregation, David delivered his Emmanuel sermonette, a writing he and Kay would tweak every year. I cannot think of a better way to honor David's wishes than to give his teaching moment, his final word, with a strong and hopeful focus on the future. As I finish up, this is what I think David would like to leave us with. In Scripture, we learn that one of God's names is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not far away, right here beside us. We sometimes think of God as far away, remote, up there, but that's not right. In Jesus, God came very near. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. God's Son walked with us, fished with us, ate with us, celebrated with us, mourned with us. Emmanuel, God with us, not against us, with us. We sometimes think of God as looking for ways to find us in the wrong, to judge us, to condemn us, but that's not right. God is the shepherd who heads out into open country to seek us out. God is the one who searches in the dark for us. God is the Father who waits on the porch for us to come home. Emmanuel, God with us, not unfamiliar with pain, suffering along with us. We sometimes think of God as too separate, too other, too unfeeling, too unhuman, but that's not right. God is the God who weeps. God is the God who begs for this cup to be taken from him. God is the God who suffers and dies. What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed every day. We're like sheep being slaughtered. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. It's the gospel in a single word. Praise be to God for David's life. This last song we will sing is called We Shall See the King Someday. Apparently, as a toddler, David used to belt this song out to the top of his lungs. Feel free to join in today. Let's sing together.
May be often drear. We shall see the King someday. On that blessed morning, clouds will disappear. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne, when he shall call his own, we shall see the King someday. After pain and anguish, after toil and care, we shall see the King someday. Through the endless ages, joy and blessing share. We shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne, when he shall call his own, we shall see the King someday. There with all the loved ones who have gone before, we shall see the King someday. Sorrow past forever on that peaceful shore, we shall see the King someday. We shall see the King someday. We shall shout and sing someday. Gathered round the throne, when he shall call his own, we shall see the King someday.
Let us bow our heads together in gratitude. God, we have seen and heard David's faith and his love for the saints. And for this, we express deep gratitude. He was and will always be your handiwork. You created him, knit him together, and gave him to a family that loved him so. Then you gave him to a family at church that loved him so also. You gave him to a family at work that loved him also. And in all of this, we see that David was ever rooted and grounded in your love, in the love of Jesus. God, as we have heard in Romans, nothing shall ever separate us from your love. And we can see that in David's life. We saw that in his love of rice, in his love of engineering and knowledge and his wit, that nothing was ever separated from your love in Christ Jesus. We saw in his love for Kay that nothing was ever separated from your love. As he held her hand, as he laughed and smiled with her, those were symbols of your love with her every day. God, we are grateful for him. We are grateful for what we see in David. Because what we see in him is not just him, but it is the Jesus who is in him. Throughout Ephesians, we hear the word riches over and over. The riches of your grace, the riches of your love, the indescribable riches, the glorious riches. We see in David all of those riches. The riches of a life well lived, the riches of a life built in faith, the riches of a life well loved. God, I pray in gratitude for him, and I know that in the gratitude in this crowd, in this testimony of witnesses that surround Kay and David's family today, we are grateful with smiles and tears. And I pray, God, that when the tears come, you will wipe them away and collect them as you do. And when the smiles come, you will collect those also. And that you will build it as a testimony of faith for David, as a legacy that he has left with all of us. God, thank you for all of those smiles that come, all the stories that come today in our fellowship, all the tears that come, because those tears are tears of love, tears of gratitude. In all of this, God, in all of David's life, we see you and your fingerprints. And for that, we can say, God, you are with us. In all of it, we say, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for being here today. Your presence is a comfort to David's family, and your encouragement is beyond words. Immediately after the service, there will be refreshments available in the lobby. Please feel free to stay for that, fellowship with one another. In a moment, I will read the conclusion of Ephesians 3. I will then lead the family out first, and then after the family is out in the lobby, everyone else may then follow behind. I invite you now to stand as I read from Ephesians 3. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. And together we say, amen.